word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. A few weeks ago, we all received a message from the Presidential Warning System, sort of a testing of the program. The EAS is a national public warning system that provides the president with the communications capability to address the nation during a national emergency. Many of us are probably kind of caught off guard by it. I even knew it was coming and still kind of caught me off guard once the alarm started going off. But when that happened, I had a thought about that. And, you know, I was thinking, I wish I could get my hands on this system, because there are a few messages that I would love to have the opportunity to send out to every cell phone in America. And mainly, I wish that we could all get all people to realize that we're in a spiritual war, and we need to be diligent in this state of spiritual emergency that we're facing. We have an enemy who is constantly looking for an opportunity to separate us and our families from our God. He knows that if he can get us away from God, he can defeat us and destroy us. And God would have us to know that this enemy is always lurking near. So if God were going to send out a message to alert us to a state of emergency, God's message would say something like this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. If we're going to stand our ground with God, we must be able to withstand the enemy who is trying to move us mentally. He's trying to get into our minds. He wants to get into our hearts. He wants to take control of our bodies and use us against the Lord. But there are some keys in this verse that will help us to find the strength to be able to hold our ground against him and stay where God wants us to stay. And as we study this text, we can prepare ourselves for the spiritual warfare that we're all going to be facing this week. Whoever we may be, wherever we are, whatever we're facing, we're all engaged in some kind of spiritual warfare. The devil is looking out for each one of us. So how can we be strong for God this week? And Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 makes it clear that if we're going to be strong for God, then we must be strong in God. In is certainly a key word in the book of Ephesians. We have lots of blessings, we have lots of help, we have tremendous strength, but it's all in God. It's all in Christ Jesus. And if it's all in Christ, then there are no blessings, no strength, and no help to be found outside of Christ. So if we're going to be strong for God, then we must be strong in God. We must be strong in Christ. Our strength is not in money. Our strength is not in success, achievement. It's not in popularity. It's not in what we own. Our strength is in the Lord and in the power of his might. And with that strength comes tremendous confidence in every situation. I heard a story about something that happened during the Korean War, and it kind of helps to illustrate that confidence that we can have with the Lord's help. As the enemy advanced, Baker Company was cut off from their unit. For several hours, the headquarters tried to contact them without success, and finally, after a long period of silence, they picked up a faint signal. And straining to hear, the corpsman said, "Baker Company, do you read me?" Finally came the reply, "This is Baker Company." "What's your situation?" the corpsman asked. And the response was, "The enemy is to the east of us. The enemy is to the north of us. The enemy is to the west of us. The enemy is to the south of us." And then there was a pause. Then finally, the sergeant from Baker Company came back on the radio and said, "The enemy is not going to get away from us now." What confidence in even what seemed like an impossible situation. And the reality is that we have that kind of strength in the Lord. We must never forget that Satan's attacks are no match for the Savior's power. But if we're going to be prepared for this fight, we've got to suit up. Ephesians 6:11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the devil. Interestingly, when Paul wrote this, he was under house arrest in Rome. And because of that, he saw Roman soldiers every day during this period of time. He saw them decked out in their armor, with their helmet, their breastplate, their belt, their shield, their sword, the sandals that they had on their feet. It was a familiar image. And every time Paul saw one of these Roman soldiers, it reminded him of the armor that the Christian has to have in order to be ready for our fight against the devil. Sadly, many Christians are going into battle every day. When they go to work, when they go to school, when they are out in the community, when they're facing their families, whatever the situation is, they're going into a spiritual battle without their armor. I heard a story told by Leroy Imes. He was serving in the Marines in the South Pacific during World War II. He said, "Shortly after we hit the beach, our armored amphibious tank took two artillery shells broadside. We immediately evacuated the disabled vehicle just as we were and darted from hole to hole toward the enemy airstrip, which we were supposed to take. The sergeant began to check on us to make sure that we were okay. He crawled over to me and asked, 'Are you all right, Imes?' And I answered, 'Yeah, I'm okay, Sarge.' He looked at me and asked, 'Imes, where's your helmet?' I felt the top of my head and answered, 'Oh, I must have left it in the tank, Sarge.' 'Where's your duty belt?' 'Our duty belts carried ammunition for our rifles, our canteen, our bayonet, all of those things.' 'Well, I felt my waist. It must be in the tank too, Sarge.' 'As a matter of fact, Imes, where's your rifle?' He looked at me with disgust and pity. 'Because we left the tank so quickly, I left so many important things behind in there. I was dressed about the same way I would have been dressed for a game of volleyball, and there I was hopping from hole to hole and from tree to tree, completely unarmed in the middle of a battlefield.'" Now, that's a pretty extreme example, but it just shows you how ridiculous, but also how dangerous it is to go into battle unarmed. Even more so when your soul is what's at stake. So it is imperative that we put on the whole armor of God. The text emphasizes that over and over again. Some of the armor of God is not enough. Most of the armor of God is not enough. Because if any piece of the armor of God is forgotten, it leaves you vulnerable in that area. And any area that we leave unguarded, the devil is sure to attack in that very place. You ever heard the Greek legend about Achilles? Achilles was regarded as the most illustrious of all of the warriors in the Trojan War. And according to the legend, when Achilles was a child, his mother dipped him in the sacred river Styx. But as she held him by the heel, that one part of his body wasn't dipped in the river. And that one part of his heel left him vulnerable. So in the Trojan War, guess where he was hit? He was hit in the heel by a poison arrow and died. The enemy found his weakest point, and that's where he attacked. And we can be sure that Satan is looking to do the same for us. So we need the whole armor of God. Well, let's talk about that armor. Starting over in verse 14, the Bible says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying also with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." In those verses, Paul has just described what is the armor of God. And let's take a moment, let's talk about each one of the pieces of this armor. First of all, we need the belt of truth. For a Roman soldier, the belt was of special importance to keep the other pieces of armor and clothing in place. Particularly when they wore long flowing garments, the soldier needed to be able to pull those up and tie them off with his belt so that he wouldn't trip over them. You know, if you're fighting with a Greek soldier or a Persian soldier, the last thing in the world you want is to trip over your robe and fall down. So the belt was important for that reason. The belt might also be where the soldier kept his sword or a dagger or any other things that he will need in the battle. So the belt kept things in their proper place. Now in our case, our belt is truth. The truth that comes from God's word. Jesus said, "God's word is truth," John 17:17. And we need that truth because it keeps our heart in the right place. It keeps our conscience functioning properly. Without the truth of God's word, we may find our conscience out of place. We may find our conscience approving things that God doesn't like. And we might find ourselves condemning things that God doesn't care about. Satan knows that if he can influence the way we think, then he's won the battle. So he tries to get in our heads. He tries to create discontent. You know, my life's not good enough. He tries to create doubt. Maybe there's not really a God. Maybe the Bible's not really his word. Maybe there's really not a heaven and a hell and Jesus and all of these things. Or he tries to get in our head and create lust, pride, any number of things that he knows can get our lives out of place and turn us away from God. The Bible tells us about when he tried to tempt Jesus, and every time he tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus came back with, "It is written." God's word showed Jesus the way to be able to defeat all of his lies. It was the belt that kept everything in the proper place so that Jesus could stand his ground against him. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." We need God's word to be our truth, to be our compass, to guide us, to show us what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong. Otherwise, everything is going to fall out of place in our minds and in our lives. So we need the belt of truth. We also need the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier wore a breastplate for the same reason that someone today would wear a bulletproof vest. It was there to protect the most vital organs, protecting the heart, the lungs, and other organs that if they were to be wounded, it would be a fatal wound. So the breastplate is one of the most important pieces of armor that a soldier has. In our case, our breastplate is righteousness. Now, what does that mean? What is righteousness? Well, if truth is believing what's right according to God's word, then righteousness is living by what is said in God's word. So the belt of truth is about believing the truth, but the breastplate of righteousness is about taking the truth and putting it into practice in your life. Righteousness is right doing or right living. In James 1, 23 through 25, the Bible says that if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now someone will say, well, I try to do what's right, but I mess up, you know. I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. Well, we're all in the same boat together as far as that goes. As much as we might strive for righteousness, we understand that we are not perfectly righteous. There's only been one man who's ever walked this earth who was perfectly righteousness, or perfectly righteous. And that's Jesus Christ. But the beauty of the gospel is, if we believe and obey the gospel of Christ, then Christ's perfect righteousness will complete all that is lacking in us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So if you're worried about whether or not your righteousness can be the breastplate that's going to protect the most vital aspects of your life, then don't worry anymore. Because if you believe and obey the gospel of Christ, then your breastplate of righteousness is going to protect you in the areas where you need protection. So we need the belt of truth, and we need the breastplate of righteousness. But we also need the shoes of the gospel of peace. Since the Christian soldier is to stand, he has to have a sure footing. The Roman soldier's sandals were not only bound firmly to his feet and ankles, but they were thickly studded with hobnails that would dig into the ground and give the soldier a sure footing. You know, again, last thing you want when you're engaged in hand-to-hand combat is to fall down. In our case, what's going to give us a sure footing is the gospel of peace. The word gospel means good news. And the gospel of peace is the good news that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, to take away our sins. This good news is what's going to help us stay on our feet. When we're fighting, it's what motivates us to just to know that he could love me that much, that he would die for me. Well, that keeps me fighting to stay on my feet. But also when I do fall, and I do, it's that love that he showed for me when he died for my sins that helps me to get back on my feet again. The forgiveness that I know I have because of what he did helps me to get back on my feet. You know, David is a good example of someone who fell very hard in his walk. We see that in his adultery. We see that in the murder, the lying, the deception. But in Psalm 23:4, David said that God restored, as a shepherd, restored his soul. You know, a shepherd sometimes will have a sheep that will roll over or fall and get over on its back. And the thing about it is, especially if he's weighed down with wool, the sheep can't get back on his feet again once he gets in that position. He needs the shepherd to put him back on his feet again. When God restores our soul, that's what he does. He puts us back on our feet again. He did that with David. He's done that with so many others, and he will do that for us today. So the gospel of peace gives us that sure footing that we need to be able to stand on our feet, spiritually speaking. So we need the belt of truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need the shoes of the gospel of peace. But we also need the shield of faith. The Roman soldier carried a shield that was 4 feet long and about 2.5 feet wide. He held it under his in his left arm, and so it could be used to protect his entire body. And it was particularly essential because some of the enemies that they fought would not only shoot arrows at them, but they might shoot fiery arrows at them. They might dip them in a flammable substance and light them, so that not only would the arrow injure if it penetrated, but the fire would spread into their garments and into their bodies, and the burning would do even more damage after the arrow had hit. So these shields that the soldiers carried not only would keep those arrows from penetrating their bodies, but often enough, they would also soak them in water before a battle, and so they would extinguish the fire. And as this text says, we need the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because sometimes it's not just the initial attack itself, but the lingering effects that happen later. If we've been hurt, you know, or if we have failed, that hurts in the initial experience of it. But then the effect of it can even linger in the mind for a long time afterwards, and the fire continues to spread. What do we have that can extinguish that fire? And there's really only one thing, and that's faith. Faith is a conviction that God is real. Faith is a willingness to obey what God commands. But maybe most of all, faith is a trust that God will never let me down, that God will never forsake me. And that faith is the shield that protects us from the darts of the wicked one. faith-enabled people in the Old Testament, like Caleb, to persevere and say, give me this mountain. He wanted that mountain that God had promised him, and he was ready to fight any battle he had to fight to get it. Some people couldn't see God because of the giants in the way, but Caleb couldn't see the giants because he knew God was with him. Many people become pessimistic because they count too much on their own strength and not enough on God's help. We're facing those giants in our lives. The way we're going to conquer them is with the shield of faith, not the excuse of fear, but the shield of faith. We also need the helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier's helmet was a cap made of thick leather or brass, fitted to the head, and of course would be used to guard the head from a blow, from a sword, a war club, or a battle axe even. In our case, our helmet is salvation. God has promised us that he will save us, that he will deliver us from our sin. He will deliver us in any temptation. He will deliver us in any trial that we may go through. And that promise of salvation that we have from God protects our head. When we are thinking those negative thoughts, those hopeless thoughts, and we're about ready to give up, it's that promise of salvation that's going to keep our minds strong and protect them. The soldier needs a healthy confidence that he's going to win the fight so that he can keep fighting. We need that helmet of salvation. But then finally, we need the sword of the Spirit. Remarkably, this is the only offensive weapon that's mentioned here. A material sword will get dull the more it's used. But God's word is the sword of the Spirit, and it always remains sharp. With that sword in our hearts, we can defeat Satan, no matter what he throws our way. And the final thing that Paul says that we need to bring it all together is prayer. Prayer is the means by which we put on the armor of God. And we should pray always. Pray with all prayer. Prayers of praise, prayers for help, prayers of thanksgiving, all prayer. Pray in the Spirit, he says, and keep on praying. Interestingly, the armor of God doesn't provide any protection for the backside. And that's because retreat is not an option for us. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to persevere. And with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and with prayer on our side, we can overcome and defeat any attack that Satan may raise against us. Friend, if there's any way that we can help you, please contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light.